dawn of a new year brings hope in Chicago. It's hope that the city may find a respite from the violence that has plagued neighborhoods in 2016. Gun deaths there spiked to levels not seen since the late 1990s. 2 decades have passed since then. The pain of lost loved ones echoes in the hearts of family and friends, and the current high levels of violence tormenting Chicago are an echo. We've been here before. Takeaway member station WBEZ in Chicago has been featuring stories from residents recounting the loss of loved ones during that violence in 1998. This piece comes from a mother and her daughter reflecting on the death of their son and brother.
My name is Siona Owens. I'm Robert Owens' mother.
My name is Sharon Berkman Owens, Robert Owens' sister. He was sensitive. He was a cooler kid. I don't know. He was just mushy. We call him mushy because he looked. He had a little funny face. Yeah, and he had this little funny little mouse face, and that's what we end up and called him the name.
And mush mouth. Remember, we said mush mouth, and mushy just stuck. Yeah. The day Mushy got killed, now you know what, my mind just went completely blank. And I got bars on my doors. I could not get that key to work to save my life. I took off running, but for some reason my legs was just like lead. And by the time I got there, I'm still saying in my head, because this can't happen to me again. You know, I've been the mother of 7 kids. I've lost 4. I had 2 died in a fire, and I had 1 died at birth.
He was killed by a 12-year-old white kid that was basically living in a Mexican and black neighborhood.
He was in a gang, and his initiation was that he had to go out and kill somebody.
I took out my anger on what happened to Mushy on all teenagers. My son had a friend that was about the size of the kid that killed my brother. I hated this kid.
If I only had said, no, you can't go out tonight. Because that was my goal, not to let him go out tonight. I left Chicago because I didn't want to be there anymore. It wasn't safe for my family. I mean, people's getting killed. I've seen 7 of my friends' sons get killed and stuff and everything. Then I was next. No, I didn't want to be there anymore. And I still don't like Chicago. And I go back there now. And I'm so aggravated. And when I come right back here, up here in Kenosha, I'm just like I'm at peace.
I feel sorry for the parents that have kids, young kids that's there. Because when Mushy got killed, you didn't really hear this. I mean, you heard kids killing kids and stuff like that, but not like that. It was like a shock when you hear something like that. But now it's getting old. We hearing it every single day.
I used to watch everything that goes on in Chicago. You know, I'd live for any little piece of news, but it would just got, every time somebody got shot and killed. I can't deal with that stuff anymore, because when you're constantly looking at some child and got killed again, and then this, that mother going through that, it's just too painful to watch, because you already know you've been there. A month ago, October the 24th, my nephew was shot and killed in Kenosha.
I was at work, and I got the phone call, and I felt the devil come out my soul. I had to take off a week from work, and it brought back Mushy all over again.
Everybody had to take off a week from work. This used to be my safe haven, and I said, nobody can touch us here. You know what I'm saying? This is Kenosha. Now, you know how I feel right now? He got shot and killed. Now I got to start worrying again. When you shoot that boy, you shooting that whole family. When you take that one bullet, you have destroyed a whole family. You might as well say you shot everybody.
Siona Owens with her daughter Sharon Bergman Owens remembering the death of Robert Owens, who was shot and killed in Chicago in 1998. Their story comes to us courtesy of member station WBEZ and reporter Miles Bryan.
What stood out to me particularly were the young victims. We wanted to look at kids who are so young, they haven't even reached high school age, and yet they're being victimized by violence.
The voices say it all there in the previous segment, but 2016 was a most violent year for the city of Chicago. Murder rates hit levels not seen in two decades. The cause of the spike may be a grisly social adjustment to what officials hope is not a new normal. Patrick Smith is a reporter for member station WBEZ in Chicago.
41 shootings is just so much higher than any time in the last 10 years. It's basically 2013, 2014, and 2015 combined. And they're up more than even our big increase that we saw for shootings overall.
What do people say that they think is going on, people in the neighborhoods?
There's one sort of common theme that I was hearing from people that I think would be really hard to quantify, but I can say that I haven't talked to a single person about this who didn't say it, which was something that I heard from the grandparents of Takara Morgan. This is a six-year-old girl who was shot in the stomach over the summer. Her grandparents told me that they think there isn't as much of a stigma on accidentally hitting innocent victims. Basically, they have normalized the idea that you might accidentally hit a little kid who's not involved in the shooting you're doing.
They don't care no more. They don't even care about life anymore. I don't think they care about their own life.
How can you care about somebody else when you don't care about yourself? You got to first love your own self before you love somebody else.
So that's Johnny and Arthur Morris, grandparents of Takara Morgan, who was shot in the summer. And again, that's one voice, but you heard this again and again.
I heard it again and again from people in every neighborhood in the city, and also from criminologists, and I heard it from police. I talked to Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who leads our police department here, and he said he not only is seeing that callousness from gang members, but he thinks that people in the community are also not as shocked when an innocent victim is killed or wounded in one of these shootings.
When you have a police-involved incident in a community, there's a lot of outrage. There's no outrage when you see a young kid killed by a gang member, and I don't understand that.
I mean, that is a sense of hopelessness, I mean, from my perspective. But are people withholding information from police because they don't trust them or something?
Well, that is one thing that Eddie Johnson said he thought might be going on, and basically that there's a narrative now that police are the bad guy and that in poor communities, they just do not trust the police. They don't want to come forward. Eddie Johnson says they're not getting the information they need to solve these shootings. The numbers I looked at, police have made arrests in just three of these shootings. So there are 41 shootings in which a young kid was wounded or killed. Police have found who did it only three times. So that's a staggering number. Superintendent Johnson says that's in large part because people won't come forward even when there's this very young victim.
So we've heard all this outrage about police brutality, but gang violence doesn't move the needle in the same way?
It's interesting you say that. I mean, that is certainly what you hear from police. I don't know if that's true. I do know that Arthur Morris, Takara Morgan's grandpa, you know, he said he knows there are people who he sees every day who look him right in the face and they know who shot his six-year-old granddaughter and they won't say anything. And you can tell just how upset and frustrating he finds that. But he also said that he blames the police for not solving this, for not solving the shooting that wounded Takara, for not solving almost any of the other shootings that wounded little kids. And I thought it was really interesting what he said because Eddie Johnson said, you know, people in the communities don't care about gang violence. They only care about police brutality. This is what Arthur Morris said about how police respond when someone gets shot.
Let one of them get shot. One gets shot this morning at 10 o'clock, 5 o'clock this evening. They got whoever shot him or her. But one of us, they look for somebody to shoot me or you once in the presence of you. They looking for them then. They tell them, well, we looking for them. But when you turn that corner around there, he ain't worried about it. His mind will flip somewhere else.
That's really a devastating indictment. What impact does the shooting and the persistent sort of lack of prosecution do to the community?
Well, it has a devastating impact on the family. I mean, Takara, fortunately, she's got a scar on her stomach, but besides that, she physically is okay now. But mentally, you know, she watches every car that goes by. If she hears a loud banging outside, she lies flat on her stomach. She doesn't get to be sort of a happy-go-lucky kid. Her mom has high blood pressure and it wants to move. Her grandma says she's afraid to go outside. I mean, it just has a devastating impact on the family. That maybe isn't that surprising. What I think is also really important is that the impact isn't just on the family. It's on the whole community. When you have something like this where an innocent kid can be shot and there are no repercussions for the people who do the shooting, it sends shockwaves. It kind of means no one is safe. At least that's what I'm hearing from people. I talked to Timothy Ferguson, who has four young kids. He lives on the west side of Chicago on a block where a kid, a 13-year-old kid, was shot at about 11:30 on a Saturday morning.
I saw the 13-year-old. He was sitting on the back of a fire truck spitting up blood. And I'm a homeowner, and I want to stay in my neighborhood. I want to raise my kids. I can't even take my kids outside. I have to take them to the suburbs to play in the playgrounds.
Now, we should note we've been focusing on these 41 shootings of kids under 13, but there were 762 murders and more than 3,500 shootings in Chicago last year. That, in and of itself, is a huge increase over 2015. Why the spike? Is there a consensus?
There is no consensus. It's something that I've been putting to a lot of people. I've heard from criminologists and people in the communities that there's more desperation and more hopelessness in the poor communities here, that the kids who are doing the shootings do not see any other options for themselves. I've also heard that there's easier access to guns, or that, you know, gang rivalries are amped up over social media. But none of those things are new, and I don't know that they answer the question of why this big spike. Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who we heard from, he subscribes to the idea that police are pulling back because of all the focus on officers and because police are being seen as the bad guy, as he puts it. He's not saying that's the only reason, but he has certainly said that police are pulling back. They're not making as many stops. They're not making as many arrests, and that could be contributing to the spike in violence.
Well, whatever the reason, the trend line seems to be in the wrong direction, absolutely, as we begin 2017. Patrick Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Patrick Smith is a reporter with WBEZ in Chicago.